Superhuman eyes. Accelerated evolution.
Welcome to an extraordinary episode of Superhuman Eyes, with a conversation that I promise you will touch the essence of your being. Imagine stepping into a realm where ancient wisdom meets modern mysticism, where the power of spirituality transcends the boundaries of the known, and where every word holds the potential to catalyze profound shifts within and without. Today, we're joined by none other than Shaman Durek. A sixth-generation shaman, Shaman Durek is an evolutionary innovator, spirit hacker, and visionary for the new age, or rather the now age, as he calls it. With a strong focus on the evolution of humanity, while also simplifying our experience through common sense practices, Shaman Durek is a sought-after international speaker and thought leader and author of the best-selling book, Spirit Hacking, Shamanic Keys to Reclaim Your Personal Power, Transform Yourself, and Light Up the World. His teachings have impacted thousands of people from all walks of life, including diverse public figures, CEOs, mental health experts, and a global clientele. Each edition calls him Shaman of Our Times, applying ancient wisdom to our modern problems and demystifying spirituality by making it attainable and understandable for everyone. Shaman Durek, what a pleasure to connect and be in your presence. Welcome to the Superhumanized podcast.
Thank you, my darling. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. It's such a privilege. I have been following your work for quite a while now. It's had quite an impact on me, as well as a lot of people that I know. And your teachings and your beingness bring a fresh perspective to the ancient tradition and wisdom of shamanism. Now, for those in the audience who are not as familiar with what that means, I'd love to offer a brief introduction, because the question on the top of their minds would be, what is a shaman?
Well, a shaman is a mediator, a person who is here to hold the foundation of your ability to recognize your power, your intellect, your emotional intelligence, and to create an easy and most dynamic way for you to step into your power without the need to continuously, you know, go back in time or continuously go through the same continuations of pain and suffering that a lot of people continue to get, especially when they're in psychology and they're constantly reliving and keep talking about the same thing over and over. Shamanism is one of the oldest ways of holding space, but as well giving people the tools and the ability to learn how their body operates, their mind, their emotions, the food they eat, the environment they're in, their ancestors, their friends, their family, and how all of these different aspects are not separate from one another, but they actually are a part of the whole of who you are as a human being. And then being able to usher in the right intelligence in your thinking and the way you feel activates a different response of what shows up in your life and what things that you actually aspire to in your life. So it's kind of a weaving. Shamans, we see it as a form of weaving this beautiful tapestry of you into this magnificent piece of art that gets to express itself without fear, gets to live its life in its truth, its authenticity, as well as honoring the foundations of everything you've gone through to everything you become, while holding that space for others in humanity. Because the key in shamanism is not just about holding space for you, but it's holding space for you so you can hold space for others. Mm. And then it allows you to fully show the blossoming of wisdom that's already in you. It shows the part of you that without restraint or fear, what you're capable of doing when you feel this dynamic force of energy where you're not thinking of what other people will say or being concerned about what people may think, but you are actually operating in alignment to you and your expression. right? And I think for shamans, there's different types of shamans. There's earth shamans who only do stuff with plant medicines, fire shamans who do temescal and fire ceremonies, water shamans like the ones you have in Bali and the Philippines and Hawaii who will do submergence of water or dump water over you that's prayed and blessed over. Then there's air shamans who work with musical instruments or speaking in their throat, songs and whispers. And also then there's spirit shamans such as myself who teach you about the spirit world and then use high level frequencies from the spirit world to go into your body. And then what we do is we take those energies and we cross them over each other to see which ones are at the high vibration of light and which ones aren't. So like, for instance, like I can do it to you right now.
Yeah.
I'll send a frequency into your body and just tell me when you feel this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now I'm going to increase it.
That feels ticklish. That's lovely.
Uh-huh. And all I'm doing is I'm running certain high-level frequencies from the higher dimensions of energy through your body, crossing them over each other so fast, and any energy that is not in alignment to that vibration gets consumed or re-expressed would be the better way of saying it. It's like the energy itself gets merged or returns into its original form. So then I can bring that so you can feel it. So if I say to you, I'm going to send you a magnetic frequency. So I'm going to send it to you now and tell me when you feel it and tell me when you feel it moving your body.
I feel something in my hands.
Mm-hmm. Tell me when it increased. I'm going to turn up the magnetic energy. I notice that you're low in magnetic energy frequency. So I got to turn it up a little bit higher. And just tell me when you feel it running through your body and it starts to move your body.
It's a slow moving up my arms and into my shoulders.
That's right. Now, so what I realized, just even sending that energy to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You run low on magnetic energy and you run low on water energy, which means that you're more fire in your energy field, which means thinking, right?
Yeah.
The water element, which is the emotional element, right? Which is the feminine. So you're running more masculine energy, which is doing a lot of the thinking, and your feminine energy is suppressed. So what does that tell me? That tells me that there's been a position in your life where you perceive the mind and masculinity from the idea of how to navigate your life.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean anything's wrong. It just means that's what you've chosen. Now, as a shaman, I would say to you, is that how you want to navigate your life? Because if you don't, and you want to navigate equal parts where the feminine part of you and the masculine and the child and the spirit are all the four pillars are navigating your life instead of the mind having to do all the work, right? It creates a different level of how you'll perceive the world.
Mm, right? 100%. And it's so interesting you're saying that, because just in the recent past, I have made the decision, come to the conclusion, have set the intention to really reconnect with my feminine. I had an archetype, not only in the family and via my father, that the rational mind and the masculine way of doing, going, that's the way to tackle or even attack / dominate the world. We're very much in this hyper-masculine paradigm here. And I think a lot of us are experiencing the effects from that, whether you're in a female body, identify with that, or in a male body. And it just runs you dry to go back.
Well, it can run you dry if you want it to, but you can also look at it from the clarity of the masculine being redefined. And so that's what we like. So I wouldn't say that we're in a masculine paradigm, and I wouldn't give expression to that or give truth to that. Mm-hmm. I understand why you're saying it. I wouldn't give power to saying that. What I would say is that we're in a redefining of the masculine, mm-hmm. because the masculine's idea was always about dominating and solving and problem solving and so forth. But that's not what the masculine is supposed to do. The masculine is supposed to hold space for the feminine to blossom into. So when we honor the true masculine, it's that we hold space for life. We hold space for expression. We hold space for information. We hold space for illumination. We hold space for spiritual knowledge. We hold space. And when we hold space, then it gives us the information and the clarity already by holding that space, that we don't have to be the one figuring it all out and analyzing everything and trying to sort it out, because that's not what the mind is supposed to do. That's not what fire is supposed to do. That's not what the masculine is supposed to do. And that's where there's a disruption on our planet, because the disruption falls in that people actually think that analyzing something gives you more clarity, but it doesn't, because you can only analyze what you already know. So if you're analyzing something unknown, you cannot analyze it, because the analyzation aspect is only taking information from what you already know. But the unknown is something that you don't know. So it doesn't allow those two energies to come together. And this is what causes people confusion and anxiety and stress, and why they can't figure out their lives and what path they're supposed to be on, what they're here to do, and all these different things. Because they're trying, and I use the word trying in its necessary component, trying. That's all they're doing. And trying is not really doing anything, because it doesn't mean you're really committing to it. It means that you're pretending to commit to it, because you're not utilizing the right tool for the right situation. So the idea of trying is all they're getting, because the masculine analyzation does not support the unknown. Mm. And it doesn't support the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't support understanding evolution, because evolution in itself, again, is a continuously changing energy. And it requires an observation, not analyzation.
Mm. So an observation as in the sense of beholding.
Yeah, like when you look at the ocean without trying to figure out why the ocean is doing what it's doing, but you're just enjoying the beauty of it.
And which, of course, also brings us into the now versus constantly living in the past or in the future. What I really like about your teaching is the message is very clear to me, as far as I perceive it. It's about embracing our own power, and which is also really a huge step towards healing and transformation. And I'd like to know from you, what does true empowerment mean to you? And how do you support facilitating these realizations in the individuals you work with?
True power to me represents the ability to have what is called sovereignty in yourself. That means that you don't have people who have dominion over you, which means people who you feel you have to answer to. And that's why you get anxiety and stress, because you want to meet the expectations of other people. It represents a liberating freedom, an understanding of living your life, not because a knife is sticking behind your back and you have to. And if you don't, then you put yourself down by saying, I'm not good enough, or I should have known better, or any of these things. Because all of those things are literally destructors to the soul. Living in true power means operating in the understanding of yourself and the understanding of your evolution, the understanding of the mistakes that you will make should be met with love, mm-hmm. understanding in the choices that you make should be held from a place of seeking counsel from your spirit guides, your ancestors, your mind, your emotions. And a lot of people don't even realize what that means. So I'll give you an example, right? Say mind. Mind, how do you feel that I make you do all the work?
How do you feel that I make you do all the work?
And what did your mind say to you?
It went blank.
And you know why it went blank? Because you're judging. And judging makes everything go blank, because anytime my grandmother used to always say that, she's like, why are you talking to that blind? Why are you friends with that blind kid? Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean, grandmama? She said, that blind kid is blind. Why are you talking to him? And what she means is, in African wisdom, a person is blind when they judge, because they can only judge the information that they believe themselves to be. Mm. They cannot see anything else. So therefore, they're blind. So we say that they're walking blind. So me being friends with that person, because my grandmother saw that person as a judger, that means that the relationship of that person can never really evolve, because they'll judge everything that comes out of my mouth. And therefore, we won't be able to have a true, honest, authentic conversation. So the reason why it went blank is because you're judging what your mind is going to say to you. So that means you're not giving your mind the free space to talk to you freely about things. So the process of discovery for you is going to take a longer time than it would someone who didn't judge. Mm-hmm. So take this to your mind. Say, mind, if I didn't judge, what kind of relationship would we have?
Mind, if I didn't judge, what kind of relationship would we have? The word that popped up is love, or the words actually, love and flow.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because then the mind will be able to show you what it can really do for you. Mm-hmm. But it can't tell you. Like, if let me give you an example. Let's say you're going for some career and you don't listen to your mind, you don't listen to your emotions, you don't listen to your spirit, and you don't listen to your soul, which is your inner child. Your mind cannot warn you about what's going to come down, what's really going on, if this is the right move for you. Your emotions can't alert you to, so you understand what people are feeling and what things are happening, and intuition. And your soul cannot direct you in being able to create an amazing experience for you, because you don't listen to its wisdom. And spirit can't give you information as well, because you're limiting spirit. So what happens is, you're, what we call this in shamanism, is you're operating on your own accord. That means without God's will. Mm-hmm. So you're making decisions thinking that you can see all things in the universe, and you're going to make a decision on something in your life that could be so important in that decision making, but you don't seek your counsel because you're judging the counsel. Mm-hmm. You don't want to hear what they have to say because it doesn't fit your agenda. So therefore, you're running blind. And when people run blind, it's very dangerous.
Oh yeah. And on the issue of judging, that is such, I've just recently spent a lot of time also learning about this and the ways that we can judge, the self-judgment, the judging others, or judging situations. So it's something that a lot of us find ourselves in, either constantly or in times of stress, or every once in a while. It's a continuous work for most of us. What are some tools or spirit hacks, maybe, as you also talk about in your book, that could be helpful for those individuals who find themselves in pretty harsh states of judging?
So first of all, you have to understand what judgment is. The reason why you judge is because you're afraid. Mm-hmm. So fear is the first thing you have to start eliminating in order to get rid of judgment, right? Mm-hmm. So fear is first realizing that when you judge, right? So like, you just judged your consciousness, your mind, from telling you things. So what you would say is, I understand that you're scared. Mm-hmm. Repeat.
Oh yeah. I understand that you're scared.
And I'm here for you.
And I'm here for you.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And everything is going to be okay.
And everything is going to be okay.
You're safe.
You're safe.
To hear what your mind is saying.
To hear what your mind is saying.
See, the first key we have to understand is to show up with love, mm-hmm. nurturing, and care for the parts of us that are afraid. Mm. Most people don't do that. Most people get afraid, and then they build stories on top of that fear. So let me give you an example of what that looks like. Let's say I'm afraid of the dark. That's a simple one that everyone has gone through in their childhood. Mm-hmm. This is what they do with fear. Instead of saying, I love you and I'm here for you and you're going to be okay and nothing's going to harm you and everything's going to be fine. This is what people do. They get fear. I'm afraid of the dark. I'm going to play the scenario out. I'm afraid of the dark. Now, something could get me in the dark. That's an anchor. Something could hurt me. That's an anchor. What if I have no control over what could happen to me in the dark? That's an anchor. And the more anchors I put, right, the more reality-based darkness becomes. Because everything in life is fluid in this spirit world, in this physical world. Everything is fluid. Everything in front of you only remains what it is by your attention and your reaction and your need to put a story onto it. So you anchor it into reality. So reality doesn't exist until we anchor reality. And we anchor reality through putting some type of story or attachment to what we're experiencing. So someone could say, I have a really, in the past, have had dysfunctional relationships. Okay, let's just use that. Now, in order to not anchor that into your reality, you say, and because of that, I'm so happy that I'm no longer choosing that in my life. I close the door to that, never to look back at it again. Because the now thing that I'm dreaming of is this type of person, okay? So now you are, it's called shifting reality, and you're now calling in the very thing you're dreaming about now, okay? So it starts to move into getting ready to come into formation. Now, the idea of the quantum aspect of the universe has now aligned this new dream in front of you. And now what it's doing is it's waiting for you to tell a story about it. Meaning, I'm so excited that this is my only truth and my only reality. I'm anchoring it in. This is going to be the most amazing relationship for me, anchoring it in. I'm really excited about all the beautiful things we're going to experience together, anchoring it in. Okay, so now it's starting to come into reality. The person is now being pulled to you magnetically. Everything is in alignment. This is what people do. They start putting something into alignment, which becomes a part of your reality, but then they go back and look in the past and they do this. I don't ever want to go through that again.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to go through it again now because you're going back to the past. So now you're putting that back into alignment quantumly. So now the universe goes, oh, so you don't want this dream. You want this thing. So that's why you keep turning and looking at it. Okay. So let us anchor that back into your reality. So they move the other one away and they start making time to anchor the old reality back for you. Then you tell a story about it, such as, God, that person really hurt me. Anchor. Oh, I went through so much pain. Anchor. God, they broke my heart. Anchor. They're such a liar. They were condescending and narcissistic. Anchor. So now I've told a story that anchors it into my reality. So now what gets called to me, we call it replica. A replica of the person that I couldn't stand is now coming my way or to fit my reality. Now, why do human beings do this? Because human beings don't understand how energy operates and how it moves and how it shifts between consciousness and physical matter. What's in front of you is not real. It is illusion anchored in by your stories and your reactions. So when someone goes, oh my God, what if I run out of money? That's a reaction. Someone goes, oh my God, what if I never meet anyone? That's a reaction. And that gets anchored into reality. So it becomes your reality. Nothing is real until you make it real. So the key is recognizing yourself as a quantum creator, not just as a singular creator, but a quantum creator. You're operating on all dimensional fields of thought. And if you go and turn and look at the past, then that is what you're actually saying is where your attention is. And wherever spirit sees your intention, it starts to pull that into your reality, what you call reality. Okay. So if I go, let me give you another dynamic. Let's say, for instance, you're a person and you have a lot of stress and anxiety.
Yeah.
Now, stress and anxiety comes from two things. It comes from either someone you feel you have to meet an expectation to, or the fact that you're not here and that you're in the possible future, but you're not in the possible future of the most amazing, exciting opportunities and advancements that your life is going to have. You're in the future possibility of horrible things happening, scary things happening, fearful things happening. And so what happens is now you're getting overwhelmed because your being is trying to focus in this moment here from what you're trying to anchor in the reality. And now you're off in another reality and not a friendly, yummy, feely, good, yummy reality that is powerful and dynamic and optimizes your being for high success, you're in a reality of suffering and pain and who knows what else you're thinking. And you're pulling that in with the reality you have here. So you go through what is called overwhelmedness. So you get stressed and anxiety. You can't sleep. You feel upset inside. You feel sad. You feel this. You go into all kinds of depression. Why? Because you're traveling through time, utilizing your quantum powers, and looking at a possibility of the worst versus the possibility of that which is great. And when humans do this, causes the most suffering for humanity, because human beings choose to participate in their own destruction by the way in which they think. And this is why I said, when I died in my late 20s, and I asked the spirits on the other side when I went to heaven, why do we suffer? Why do we have war? Why do we have pain? Why is there famine? Why is there illness? Why is there this? And they said, malfunction in thinking. And that's exactly what it is. You cannot.
I have a question for you, because it resonates deeply, a lot of different perspectives. My childhood, I would think about the future and think about the worst. That was an imprinting that I at that time didn't have any alternatives for. My father was born in 1935 in Germany, so child of the war, hunger years, and all that. So he not only expected the worst, he learned that the worst would actually happen as a child, in a sense. And so it took me many years later to free myself from this. I know what a burden that can be. That being said, and also I'd love for you to go into your own experience, because when we're on this journey in this earthly plane, we often encounter really profound challenges that they can also propel us towards stepping into our full power and transform us completely. However, there is a point where I think we need to make a decision to actually go with that. And so for people who are really on a specific part of their journey where things seem really hard, whether they're dealing with chronic illnesses, chronic financial issues, everything just seems to be the worst of the worst for them. So that's also what they project into the future, have great anxiety, everything you said, great anxiety, depression, they don't sleep, and it just keeps self-perpetuating. Could you perhaps share some of your own story with us?
Story is, you have to understand that I was chosen as the shaman when I was a baby. And I've always had my gifts with me since I was a kid. So I've always thought differently in the sense of how a lot of human beings think. For instance, my father would say something to me that was like either a put down, or my stepmom would say something as a put down. And I would say to them, I don't accept what you're saying as truth, because what you're saying as truth is coming from your own projection of your own fears, of your own stuff, because God's not speaking in those words. Yeah. And what I meant was, is that every time they say something beautiful to me, I know that's God speaking through them to me. But when they say something that's not beautiful to me, I know that's them speaking to themselves and projecting it on me. So I've always been that kid. But for me, I would say in every situation that was difficult and painful was an opportunity to embrace the adventure of the energy of what is being created and why. And so fine-tuning my abilities to be able to sense and communicate with any aspect that needs to be communicated with to get the information that is viable for me to move myself out of that situation. For instance, let's say it's health-related, okay? You can ask your mind, you can ask your emotions, you can ask your body, and you can ask your inner child, and you can ask your spirit guides, and you can ask your ancestors, and you can ask the divine spirit, what is this about? And all of your different askings are asking your counsel. So if I say, mind, why do I have, let's say, for instance, someone's talking about cancer. Right. Mind, why do I have cancer? Because you spend so much time being angry and disappointed in yourself, and you continue to berate yourself with unlimited thoughts that aren't supporting you, that make you feel like you're no, why do you want to stay on this planet? So then we go, emotions, what about you? The emotion says, I don't feel like you nurture yourself. You're constantly upset with me. You're never satisfied with the things that I'm sharing with you. You're constantly limiting me from expressing these emotional pains that I have inside that I want to purge and get rid of. And so therefore, that's what the emotion says. But every part will say something different as according to what it needs from you in order to bring it back into homeostasis or in alignment. And this is what we call optimizing the self. Optimization of the self is like very much like biohacking, right? But it's spirit hacking. It's the understanding of the occurrence of energy. Or for instance, for biohacking, you do this biohacking thing and you get this result for this. It's the same thing in spirit hacking. When you operate in the intelligence of being able to activate the information that is necessary for you to know so you can understand what you're going through, and then given the information, you make the steps and the choices to follow that information to see actually the thing change. But what most people don't do is they go into this idea of, this is a situation, I've done everything I can, when they really have it. Or they'll say things like, this situation, I can't even, there's no way I can get out of it. I feel trapped. So every time they say something, a spirit is coming and supporting them in their reality of being trapped. So the first key is to change your languaging. The second key is to change your reaction to it. And the third key is to change your mindset to it, meaning what you say in your thoughts. So let's go back one when we talked about changing your way of reacting. If you react to, if you watch a child falls down and hurts themselves, and you go, that was amazing. The kid gets up and laughs with you and brushes it off. But if you go, oh my God, are you okay? The kid looks at you and looks around the room, notices the reaction, and then starts screaming.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Because the environment of the reality of what is based upon what the child experiences is becomes what it is environment is saying. So if the child is being told by you to, if you're, everyone's laughing and having fun about it, the child will see that's how you respond.
Right.
You laugh and you have fun about it. So if every time money goes low and you go into fear, and that's your recall, that's your safe place to go, that needs to be changed. Because your reaction is fear. Your reaction is worry. Your reaction is all these things. And what worry and fear does is attract, it creates a magnetic pull and attracts more of it to you. So if you worry about a friend, you're casting a shadow on that friend. If you are fearful about something, you're calling it to you. So the key element is to get out of those zones of your reaction and start programming yourself with a different reaction like you would with a kid. If something, money comes up and you don't have enough money, you start laughing. Huh? Oh my God, how silly. And then what happens is it tricks your consciousness to shift the way energy is moving in the universe. And all of a sudden, the very thing that you were usually using fear for or using an idea of worry about has now become something humorous to you. So therefore, it has no effect on you. And therefore, the universe now can change that situation to you having money and you having success and you having what you need at the highest level that you're willing to optimize yourself on.
Yes. And for people who have not experienced this yet, this may sound quite foreign. I can, from personal experience, share that when you shift your reaction, your mindset about certain things, it changes everything. Whether it is how you view someone, a friend of yours, let's say, who is dealing with an illness. If I give in to that view, perpetuate that view, oh my God, you're so sick, how horrible. I'm not supporting them. I'm doing the contrary, to hold someone in the highest vision of the highest health, or prayer, for example. And there's also there's a way of practicing prayer, which I also had to learn, where it's not a supplication, but it's gratitude. It's gratitude for what is. It's gratitude for having received all the things that in a different version of yourself you may have been supplying for. And it may sound simplistic. It's not. It's actually so profound. And once you make that shift, as you look back at, wow, how did I live for many years so differently when it was just called this?
Add to that, because not a lot of people want to feel gratitude.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't feel gratitude and then they feel stuck. And so what I say to people is an easier route is to be thankful. So do you say, I'm thankful, like I would say to myself, I'm thankful when I was molested, and if I don't know what the thankfulness is about, then I say, I'm thankful of being molested because I know that this is going to lead me into some powerful energies about myself. So therefore, I am in gratefulness of it. But if I go, I'm grateful for for being molested, your mind goes, really, why? So then when your mind goes, why, it makes it harder and harder for you to be grateful for things that were painful. You only seem to be grateful for the good things that come in. And that's not where gratefulness needs to be used. Gratefulness should be for everything. Grateful for when you were molested. Grateful when you did drugs. Grateful when you were an alcoholic. Grateful when you lost your mom or dad. Grateful for these things. And most people don't use gratefulness for that purpose. They only use it when gratefulness, when I get a promotion. I'm so grateful that I have my health. I'm so grateful that my kid got the honor roll. That does not shift energy energetically, because everything that happens to you is for a greater purpose. Me going through everything that I've gone through, the beatings, the molestations, the rapes, the everything I've gone through in my life, which has been a lot, all contributes to Shaman Durek's how come I love so deeply and how I'm able to be humble and know that this is not about me. Like when earlier you called me a teacher, I don't consider myself a teacher. I consider myself someone who helps people remember their power, because I don't want people to put me up on a pedestal and say, he's my teacher, he's my guru, because that doesn't support growth. So again, it's the idea, or even when you said the comment, which was, for those of you who don't understand this or don't get it, you're assuming that they don't, therefore casting an energy of you don't understand. So that's where they're going to go. They're going to go straight to the mindset of not understanding, instead of you saying, I know all of you are powerful and smart and intelligent beings and that you're getting this. And I know that you're processing it in the way you need to. So let's keep going, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're shining the light on what is possible in someone, and then they activate that energy and then bring that forward. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Noted. And that is very powerful. Language is so powerful, and also the ways we think and then express it, it shifts things. So I'm very grateful for that.
It does. It does. Truly does. It really, and when I say this with all sincerity, word is code and code is frequency, and frequency is an energy that crosses over your other frequencies. And if that frequency crosses over your other frequencies and you don't have frequencies in your being already that are safeguarding you from these negative energetic frequencies, then those negative energetic frequencies will stick to you and stay with you. And so in order to shift out of those negative frequencies, you're going to have to make a decision and a choice to allow more in frequencies that empower you and bring love to you and connect with you and flow with you. And those things can only be achieved in the aspect of recognizing the mind. And where do you recognize the mind? Meditation. I created a meditation app called Lit Vibe, and I set it up. There's no meditation like it out. There's all these other meditations that people do, and they're quite boring, to be honest. This meditation is an activation of your powers. So when you listen to these meditations on the Lit Vibe app, you are activating sequences in your brain, your neurological system. You're optimizing your cell. You're optimizing your memory record, which is coming from your limbic stem. You're optimizing energy course, which is meaning like your meridians, your muscle sheaves and your body has what was called imprinted intelligence that comes from the subtle frequencies from the fibers in your body, as well as your veins and your arteries and the flow of your blood. And all of these things are being optimized just through listening, through a meditation that shifts your frequency. So that's why meditation became such a big deal, because it actually is literally optimizing new intelligence into your being, like epigenetics, in the sense that it's turning on things and turning off things that you don't need anymore. And most meditations that I've heard, unlike all these other meditation apps that I picked up on, they're very basic. Sit and breathe, release the stress, do this. No, these meditations have to be encoded with frequencies and words that match the way that the subcutaneous tissue in your body is sending off frequency. Those frequencies, the esophageal tones, the energy frequencies, are all connected to words and sound. So when those two come together, it creates what is called programming energy fields. Programming energy fields, you always know when a programming, like if you go to a classroom and you watch the kids and you watch, you'll see the static energy around their energy field. That's because their body is programming energy to be memorized into the system, not just into the brain, but into the cells, into the muscles, into the joints, into your back, into your spine, into your eyes. All of these things are recording. And so when you are operating on programmable energy sources of learning through the idea of activating energy spiritually, you open up a different type of energy. That means that your prefrontal lobe, your subconscious, and your unconscious mind are doing what is called a merge that allows you to create energy in time, space, dimension, in the here and now. That is viable information as energy that you feel in your body. That's why people say they do my meditations, they shake, they see other beings, they see things, they go through all these experiences, because the mind itself is remapping itself. And so when we talk about biostructures, like we talk about creating spaces that are environmentally creating such a homeostasis for us that our body starts to heal, it's the same thing in how we interact with people in life. If we're constantly having lunch and dinner with someone who's talking about their negative life stories, and you don't stop them and say, I heard you say you have money problems. I don't believe you have money problems. I see money coming to you next week. I see opportunities coming to you. I see these powerful energies showing up in your life to support you to becoming a multimillionaire. All of a sudden, what you have just done is you've canceled out an energy form and you shifted the energy form into what we call alchemy. Yes. That alchemy then changes into a dynamic energy form that actually supports your life. Mm-hmm. So literally, when you're doing that in front of people, you're not only creating a programmable set for your own cell, but you're also creating a programmable set for their cells, which is why all of a sudden things change for them. But Yes. If you sit on the dinner table or you sit down and listen to friends tell you how horrible the world is and how much they struggle and how life is difficult and they can't seem to pull it together, and you listen to the whole rhetoric of that nonsense, then you are imprinting that energy into time dimensional space in your cells, and you start to begin to take on what we call, in shamanism, it's about your aura, and we call it the phantom aura. You take on a phantom aura that projects all their belief systems on you. So you start to think like them, feel like them, and react like them.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And I was just laughing a minute ago when you shared the situation where a friend would be super negative and talk about how they don't have money. And then you talk about how, oh, but I see all this coming to you. Actually, exactly what you spoke about happened with a friend of mine. So I'm just...
Yeah, synchronicity. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? I love that.
It's incredible. Yeah. And what you also just read, I'm fascinated by what you shared about the app. I'm going to download it after our conversation and also add it to the show notes. What you just shared also about children and the field around them. I just yesterday had a conversation with a dear friend of mine. She's raising her two little girls anthroposophically after Rudolf Steiner, homeschooling them. And the simple fact that most kids in school, they sit at a desk let's say they're 7 years old, where they're not fully off this earth yet, as she says, and then they sit at a desk and they look down and then they look up and then they look down exactly and look up.
Yeah.
And what that imprints into them, plus the way they learn, which is repetition and learning things by heart, it does something to your mindset. It does something to your neurological structures, to how you perceive the world, how you respond to the world.
So and being graded and going home to your parents who act like they have dominion over you and decide to dole out either love or not love. And even that is a set. And that's why human beings are so critical of what other people think about them, because they have been constantly exposed to the constant abuse of dominion-based people in their childhood who took dominion over them by making them feel that the value of their existence is the value of people pleasing them to be happy.
Yeah.
That's not how parenting should be. And that level of parenting causes what we call disruption. And now it's so much that kids are having ADD, people, I mean, the list goes on, the mental disorders that are being caused by the infrastructure of parenting.
Yes. And most parents, I'm not a parent myself. I don't have children. I see how friends are dealing with being parents, and there's not many alternatives out there unless you really seek them and go deep. If you go just by what's around you, whether it's the parenting you yourself receive or the parenting that other friends who've had children prior to you provide to their children, usually the brain likes to go for the easiest solution and for a quote solution that is also condoned by the majority. So
the brain goes for not the easiest solution. The brain goes for the solution where you're most loved and accepted by people. If your environment is one of love and acceptance by people who are incapable of loving you for you and your sovereignty, your independence, your need to be actualized in this lifetime, and they only can love you in the view and spectrum that they can see in, then you're in big trouble. Because that level of intelligence limits the progression of humanity in ways I can't even begin to explain the devastation that it does for human beings. And how it offsets war on our planet. It offsets competition for the sake of war. It offsets everything that makes you feel that you have to be better than someone else in order to get love, or that you have to steal this and kill this person for their tennis shoes in order to get love. You have to do all of these very juxtaposition things that you do that can be very violent and very off-putting if you feel that you can do this and you'll get love, or you don't do this, you won't get love. These types of energies are depleting the human system.
Yes. And I've always felt that everything in life is about love, the presence of it, the absence of it, how we are taught whether or not this is the teachings or warped teachings, whether or not we are worthy of it. I listened to an interview with you and Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith on his podcast, which I loved. You talked about, I highly recommend this episode. It was beautiful, fascinating, very deep. You talked about the concept of I'm going to put quotation marks around it because you had a different definition of it, of a demon, quote, and that it is a spirit that hasn't recognized yet its capacity to love or to receive love. Yes. And that really stuck with me on so many levels. I like to do a deeper dive in that, because people, whether they feel there's something in their psyche that's created against them or something from the outside, let's talk about a spirit, in your definition. So how can one encounter or be with such a spirit?
First off, we have to understand that we have free will. And free will has given us the ability to access all dimensional fields of consciousness as we so need it. That means what? That means that if I want to hide from the light and I don't want to take responsibility and I don't want to be powerful and I don't want to acknowledge the gifts that God has given me, I can easily go into the darkness and ask the darkness to hide me.
Mm.
Okay. through that experience would be calling, darkness will come and hide you. You might get tormented, you might, whatever it may show up as, that's up to you and up to you what your needs are as according. But the thing is, when you really think about the darkness, when you really interact with the darkness, you find out that there are brothers and sisters that just can't find their way home and they need a host. And a host is us. We are the hostess with the mostest, as long as we don't condemn and judge. When we are hosting from a place of love, we give permission for those energies to come into love, because we are now saying, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to hold space for you. How can I best support you? And most of those energies will say, I just need you to listen, or I'm sorry for doing this to you. And you understand the sorry and you allow that spirit to move on. But most people don't do that because they've been indoctrinated with Christianity and religion, that they choose to look at anything dark as Satan and the devil, and that this thing is against God, and all these different things. And these are parallels of disillusionment that have been brought on by people who are afraid to own responsibility over their sovereignty, that they choose to look towards a book to define the reality and to define the necessities of what it means to be in a physical form. So again, where we're misusing of the masculine energy and the patriotic energy with the religious energy that makes people feel, I can't do that because I don't want people to think that I'm crazy. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be condemned. All of which are only showing up because you've decided to put these people in dominion over you instead of having God be the free love energy that you always have been waiting for, but you haven't let it in because you've been exposing yourself to a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
And so the quality of life then diminishes based on how much love and how much likes that person can get to satisfy the energy of who they are and what they are as valuable and viable in its existence.
I like that you chose the word likes, because that is so pervasive in our culture. And of course, also brings up the question, as people who live with as spiritual beings and as individuals who choose to engage with spirit and technology, how to best do this for the greatest, highest good of all ourselves, and how to not succumb to those energies, to need the validation via the likes.
The likes and validations and loves are not real. Because no one can love you truly if they're not asking you to show up authentically. Mm-hmm. The idea of in love is a superficial idea of being liked and loved based on the other person's ideas and expectations of you. To truly come into your own understanding of what that love is, and someone chooses to love you from that nature, that's when they're really loving you. Mm. Because they're basically saying, I can only love you when you choose to show up authentically. Not, I can only love you when you choose to show up in a masquerade at some kind of something that is not having anything to do with what is the focus is what? The focus is for you to feel empowered. The lack of limitation held within the idea of Nike and love are subjective energies based upon the fact that someone has an opinion of something. An opinion is a judgment. Mm-hmm. It is a recoiled judgment. The energy of opinion operates in this field of intelligence, which is, I am going to create an argument of discussion for the sake of making myself win it, to be able to say, I know what I'm talking about. For what purpose? Who cares?
Yeah. Yes. Oh gosh, yeah. So much food for thought here. Something that keeps circling in my brain, because it really hit, it resonates with me, was just a few minutes ago, you said when we choose to go into the darkness, and so we basically don't have to take responsibility for all the gifts that we were given. And my words now, to shine our light bright. I know for myself, for the longest time, the reluctance to shine my light had to do with my warped perception of what power is, where what I learned was power is from the top down. It's not what I feel called towards peer-to-peer leadership.
That's not why. Yeah. The reason why you went through what you went through was not what, it's about you feeling safe being in your power. Mm-hmm. Your horse energy has been, if I don't use this masculine energy and come off like this, people will not appreciate me or acknowledge my power because I'm in a woman's body. So you're still operating from the subtext that masculine male energy is the voice that people listen to, and that the opposite is not. So your core power energy is always going to be held in the foundations of that untruth, mm-hmm. until you choose to realize that all power is love,
yeah.
at a core energy.
Power is love. What wonderful closing words. Thank you for the really beautiful download, for sharing of yourself and of your wisdom with us. I so appreciate you making time for us. And for people who'd like to connect with you, learn more about you, how can they do?
They can go to shamanderek.com. They can go to the Lit Vibe and talk to me directly, because I'm fully active in the app where I talk to everyone every single day. They can also go to Instagram. The most important thing is that they can go to all these resources, and I have tons of resources for people to see their power, acknowledge their power, and know who they are, and move through these things swiftly and easily without so much congestion, because that's what we want. We want to make it easy. And I think making it easy is such a wonderful thing, because I've realized that it really supports people in being able to have a good life instead of spending their whole life healing.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Shaman Durek. Wonderful to have spent time with you.
Thank you, my love. I love you. Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you.
Love to you too. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Hey, everyone. If you're as passionate about transforming your life and reaching your peak performance as I am, I invite you to join my newsletter. Think of it as your weekly dose of inspiration and knowledge to supercharge your journey to becoming superhuman. Start optimizing mentally, physically, and spiritually today. Just head over to superhumanize.com/newsletter and sign up. Trust me, your future self will thank you.